Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, April 30th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Transgender Idahoans sue over felony bathroom bill, saying it's unconstitutional. Washington greenhouse gas emissions declining very slowly, according to latest Department of Ecology report. And Moscow to consider allowing open containers of liquor sold in sanctioned entertainment zones during special events. Beer and wine already allowed during those special events. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Six transgender citizens sued in federal court over House Bill 752 Wednesday, which criminalizes knowingly and willfully using a restroom that aligns with a person's gender identity if it is different from their birth gender. The Idaho bill makes it a misdemeanor to use the correct restroom the first time and a felony the second time within a five-year period, even if they have gone through a sex change procedure. Governor Brad Little signed the bill, sponsored by Republican Representative Cornell Razor of Sagal, and it takes effect July 1st unless a court blocks it. The lawsuit says the Idaho law violates due process and equal protection rights in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment. The lawsuit says House Bill 752 presents transgender Idahoans with an impossible choice: use a restroom that does not align with their gender identity and risk severe physical and psychological harms, or continue to use restrooms in public in accordance with their gender identity and risk a criminal record and imprisonment. This law upends public life not only for transgender Idahoans, but for everyone who uses public restrooms in Idaho. According to the Idaho Capital Sun, attorneys with the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU of Idaho, Lambda Legal, Alturas Law Group, and Munger, Tullis, and Olson are representing the six plaintiffs. 77-year-old Emily Jackson Edney, one of the six plaintiffs, says she worries about her safety if she complies with the law. Jackson Edney, who is transgender, says she has lived in Idaho her entire life and she has used women's public restrooms without issue for 20 years. The lawsuit says of Jackson Edney, she fears that if she were to walk into a space designated for men, it would immediately cause attention and disruption. She would be worried that she could be exposed to violence by being perceived as a woman in an all-male space or being perceived as a transgender woman because of the law's new requirements. The lawsuit says if the law goes into effect, Jackson Edney, quote, plans to decrease her time spent in public to reduce the need to use public restrooms, plans to drink less water and eat less to ensure that she would not need to use public restrooms. At a press conference today, ACLU of Idaho legal director Paul Carlos Southwick said, "Laws like this have caused people to move away from Idaho." Southwick said, "Over the last several years, we have seen relentless attacks on the transgender community here in Idaho from our state legislature. So many bills have been passed, so many restrictions. It's created a very scary environment for folks to live here. Many people have left. Many people are considering leaving because of this very law, including one of our plaintiffs." Transgender man Diego Fable said he will be forced to move out of Idaho, where he has lived for more than a decade. Fable said, "As I've watched the Idaho legislature continue passing harmful anti-trans laws over the years, I started assessing when it's too dangerous for me to stay in Idaho. With this new law, I decided I have no choice but to relocate to a different state to protect myself. This is heartbreaking because I consider Idaho my home, and I'd be leaving behind a close-knit community I've developed while living here. But living in fear every time I leave the house is not sustainable." Supporters of the bill, like bill sponsor Representative Razor, claimed the law would protect women and girls. Razor said it prevents discomfort and voyeurism, escalation, and assaults while preserving single-user options and narrow expectations so no one is denied access for emergency aid. However, that argument does not comport with scientific studies. The UCLA School of Law's Williams Institute found in a 2025 study, quote, no evidence of increased harms to people who are not transgender when transgender people are allowed to use restrooms and other gendered facilities according to their identity. However, the study found when trans people are refused access to facilities that align with their gender, they face verbal harassment and physical assault. There are exceptions to the Idaho law, such as if someone, quote, is in dire need of urinating or defecating and such facility is the only facility reasonably available at the time of the person's use. The Idaho Fraternal Order of Police opposed House Bill 752 because of that exception. The president of the police union chapter, Brian Lovell, wrote, officers responding to a complaint would be placed in the difficult position of determining an individual's biological sex in order to enforce the statute. In many circumstances, there is no clear or reasonable way for officers to make that determination without engaging in questioning or investigative actions that could be viewed as invasive and inappropriate. The Movement Advancement Project reports Utah, Florida, and Kansas already have criminal bans on transgender people using bathrooms that align with their gender identity. The Office of Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador claims Twin Falls School District Board Chair Eric Smallwood violated the Public Integrity in Elections Act when he told employees how important it is to elect pro-education candidates. Deputy Attorney General Jeff Nye told Smallwood in an April 23rd letter he should cease and desist from making such comments. Nye wrote, if we are asked to review your future conduct and find a violation of the act, we will seek a civil penalty as well as attorney's fees to recoup the public expense of enforcement. Smallwood spoke during a district staff meeting on January 5th and told attendees to vote in the primary election, which is on May 19th. The Idaho Education News reports Smallwood did not mention the names of any candidates, but said there are quite a few candidates in Idaho who do not support public education. Smallwood did say during the 2024 primary election, one election was decided by 782 votes and another by 1,247 votes. The Idaho Education News says those figures exactly align with the primary margins of victory of right-wing Republican Representative David Levitt and Republican Senator Josh Cole, both of Twin Falls. Deputy Attorney General Nye wrote in his letter, you may not have named them, but your message was clear. The staff should support public education by participating in the Republican primary and voting against the candidates who won the two races you cited from 2024. Shortly after the presentation, Representative Levitt and Cole, along with fellow Republican legislators Senator Glenada Zwederveld and Representative Clint Hostetler, all of Twin Falls, filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office alleging the violations. All four face Republican challengers in the May 19th primary. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. For more information, visit loveskombucha.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, established in 1973. The Moscow Food Co-op is a cooperatively owned grocery store that serves as a community hub and champions healthy, local, inclusive, and sustainable food and goods.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture restored a Big Agriculture grant to the University of Idaho after rescinding the original grant the department gave to the UI under the Biden administration because it addressed climate resilience. The Trump administration stripped away the five-year, $59 million Innovative Agriculture and Marketing Partnership grant, the largest in UI history, last year. According to the Daily News, the Trump USDA canceled the grant retroactively when the department changed the grant's criteria, placing greater emphasis on assisting producers gaining access to new market opportunities. The grant cancellation caused 27 University of Idaho employees to lose their jobs due to the funding cuts. A University of Idaho news release said the agency invited Innovative Agriculture and Marketing Partnership grant leaders to revise the program to meet the new standards and reapply, though the federal government shutdown further delayed the process. The Innovative Agriculture and Marketing Partnership grants provide farmers, about 200 of them, in 34 counties, with money to develop sustainable agricultural practices. A news release from the university said data from the project is intended to help producers, quote, make informed decisions about how regenerative farming practices may affect their bottom line. The UI says program members have plans to partner with the original pool of farmers prior to making new applications for more acreage under the program. Some had already received allocations when the Trump administration halted the program, and others were still on the waiting list for the agency to consider their applications. The Innovative Agriculture and Marketing Partnership Program revisions include reducing tillable acreage, cover cropping, intercropping, and a reduction in the use of synthetic fertilizers. The program is expected to employ five graduate students and a postdoctoral researcher to help implement a number of facets of the program. The Washington Department of Ecology's latest emissions report shows greenhouse gas emissions in the state shrank by half a percentage point between 2021 and 2022, amounting to a half a million metric tons of carbon. Critics say the report raises doubts on the effectiveness of the state's emissions reductions program. According to the Washington State Standard, Department of Ecology Director Casey Sixkiller said, Washington is a leader in fighting climate change. That said, we must remain laser-focused to make even more progress in combating this threat. Washington Policy Center Vice President of Research Todd Myers said the state is not close to meeting the 2030 emissions reduction targets. Myers said, every year we either see emissions go up or tiny reductions like this, and yet every year the comments from the Department of Ecology leadership is, our policies are working, clearly they are not working, and unless they are honest, we're going to keep failing. Greenhouse gas emissions have reached their highest level in Washington since 2000. In 2022, the state emitted 96.1 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, a half a point lower than in 2021, roughly the emissions of 109,000 automobiles. In 2022, transportation and building emissions rose by half a million metric tons. The increase was offset by declines in electricity, agriculture, and industrial processes.
Data show that more than half of the lower 48 states are currently experiencing drought, including two-thirds of the West. In Oregon, most of the state is already facing moderate to severe drought. Scientists are calling the situation historic. This winter tied 1934 as the warmest on record in Oregon, reducing the snowpack to about one-third of its normal size. Dr. Peter Glick, co-founder of the Pacific Institute, explains that there has been almost no snow in the West, and what little snow did fall melted early earlier and faster than usual.
That changes the runoff regime in our rivers. We get more runoff in the winter, more flooding. We get less runoff in the spring and the summer when we really want it for agriculture and other uses. And so the soils dry out faster. Fire risk goes up.
Glick predicts that if the same conditions persist, reservoirs will be significantly depleted over the next few years. Last month ranked as the third driest ever recorded in the U.S. Shel Winkley is a meteorologist with Climate Central. He explains a warming atmosphere is able to hold more water, which leads to more severe drought as well as floods. He says for every 1 degree Fahrenheit of warming, the atmosphere can hold up to about 4% more moisture.
The result of this increased atmospheric thirst means that droughts grow longer, they can get more severe, and that trend intensifies with every little bit of warming that we continue to experience here.
Earlier this month, Oregon Governor Tina Kotek declared a drought emergency for Baker, Deschutes, and Umatilla counties, months ahead of when they were issued in the past 2 years. The emergency declarations aim to help farmers and ranchers access water resources and prepare for increased wildfire risks. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
The Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee Monday advanced an amendment to the city's temporary downtown entertainment district ordinance that allows open containers during permitted events when Main Street or another downtown street is closed to vehicular traffic. The amendment would allow for liquor sales as well as the beer and wine sales that are currently allowed during permitted events. The request to allow liquor came in a letter from the Moscow Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center and the Downtown Business Alliance to the mayor and city council. Here's Andy Severson of the Neat Whiskey Bar discussing the issue with city council member Bryce Blankenship, pointing out the possible differences between serving liquor instead of just beer and wine in an outdoor street fair type location.
So in our world, beer and wine and liquor all have portions that are a standard unit of alcohol, right? So in that regard, we don't really differentiate between liquor, cocktails, beer, wine. A unit of alcohol in a certain amount of time is a unit of alcohol. And so we really just monitor around the symptoms that all people experience as they're starting to get drunk. But as far as like this goes, my thinking is in the same vein as what Stefan was saying, that, you know, if we're talking about 6 ounces of beer, the whiskey or liquor equivalent of that would be a quarter ounce, maybe a half ounce, right? And that's right in line with what a standard portion would be at a whiskey event. If you go to a whiskey tasting, that's right in line with that.
Right. And so just in terms of like monitoring kind of just like, again, portions, right. And just kind of like the notion that, you know, well, if you're going to drink, you know, even a quarter to a half ounce of whiskey, you're going to be exponentially more buzzed than a beer. But even some of these beers at these events are anywhere between 6 to 12% as well. Right. So I think that dispelling some of the misnomers that stem from just like the presence of alcohol as opposed to just beer and wine is one reason why I'm appreciative of you offering your expertise and your perspective here.
Blankenship said he was excited about the amendment and the possibility it would add to the vibrancy of city-sanctioned street events downtown. Severson said he hopes someday to host a multi-day whiskey festival in downtown Moscow. The administrative committee put the amendment on the regular agenda for the next city council meeting. If the city council approves, they would direct staff to write an amendment to the city's entertainment district ordinance and bring it before the council at a later date. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, we're expecting mostly clear skies tonight with a low of 43, increasing clouds tomorrow, high 72, mostly cloudy Friday night, low 48, partly sunny on Saturday, high 75, mostly cloudy Saturday night, low 50, and sunny, high 75 on Sunday. Current temperature is 66 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, Be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. I'm Lee Robartas. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Coming up next, Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And that will be followed by Appearing Locally, a half-hour show where we feature music from artists that are appearing in the Moscow Pullman area in the near future. That starts at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, Sister Sonic's on. Play music for you. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow Pullman.